tonight, in our series, actually we reached number 10, God seals his people in their forehead. And this one is about the seal of Israel, the 144,000. Are you in the number? That's what it is on your brochures. Revelation sealing of the 144,000 and the great multitude. Amen. Tonight, as we see from last week, the sixth seal opened, we recognize that we're living, we're at the place in the history of this world where we are in terms of the history of the unfolding of the opening of the seals. We're at number 6 and we're living between verses what? Verses chapter 6. Yes, we're living in the sixth seal. And that's all in chapter 6. But the verse that we're living, there's two verses. One verse says the skies will be rolled back as a scroll. Which verse is that? You don't remember. I can see. But we're living between verse 13 and verse 14 of chapter 6. Amen? Because the sky is not yet rolled back. But what has happened? Let's turn our Bibles in Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6. Let's go there quickly. Because we must know where we are in the history of this earth in relation to the second coming of Jesus Christ. Amen? Because that is the climatic event. That is the cataclysmic event that will end what we see happening on our, in this earth and begin and start a new beginning. It is not the new world order as some men are planning. Not the new world order. The new world order is really when Jesus comes and sets up things the way things are to be. Amen? Revelation chapter 6. Where we are now. Verse 13. It says, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth as fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. That has happened already based on history. And as a matter of fact, I can't blame you if I can't even answer some of the questions, because it didn't happen in your lifetime. It happened so long before you were even thought about. In the year, all these things happened from the year in the 18th century. And that's the time that marked the beginning of the time of the end. And so the time of the end is going to run out when the end of time comes. Amen? And that is what we looked at in the seals. It says, and I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of air, and the moon became as blood. All these things happened in the 18th century. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth. There was a great meteoric shower, as we pointed out, that scientists, even the phenomena, the observed fact of the moon became as blood and the sun became darkened. Up till this day, they can't explain it. Scientists can't explain it. You see, when God does something, it baffles man. Amen? He's a big God, showing that he's powerful and awesome. And we ought not to take his words lightly. His words are powerful. And if he speaks something, it is not going to return unto him void. It's going to accomplish the purpose for which it went forth. Amen? And the heavens departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. That's verse 14. It's not yet taken place. This is what is next to happen in God's prophetic calendar. And so, as we live our lives, we must live it in anticipation of this great event that will take place. But as we live, remember, the rejecters of God's grace cry for the rocks and mountains to fall on them. Why did they do that? For the great day of his wrath hath come. Is come. And who? Question. Who shall be able to stand? John was asking this question. When he sees all these things, John began to cringe from the destruction and the devastation that he has seen in the vision. Now, did God give John this vision, the revelator this vision, to scare him? No. But the reality is, we're living in a world where good and evil coexist. But we know that good is going to triumph over evil. Evil may seem as though it is getting the better. But good will triumph over evil. And all of the earth will polarize into one camp or the other. Either we're going to be good or evil, wicked or righteous. It's not going to be a church business, you know. It won't be any Pentecostal, Adventist, Jehovah's Witness, Church of God, Muslim, Buddha, whatever. It won't be like that. You're going to either fit in one category or the other, good or evil, wicked or righteous. But God have a system on the earth. He has an organization, a movement that is using throughout history. God is trumpeting his message of righteousness to the populations of the earth. Because God is love. And God, for God to be love, love must do something about the evil that is prevailing in our world. It can't continue forever. It must be brought to an end by a loving God. And so tonight, every man will have to make a decision. And as I can tell you tonight, as we live, and we don't have a lot of time to make the decision, because the years of a man is only 70 according to Psalms chapter 90. Then that is 70 years. And if by reason of strength, 10 more years. 80 years. And some people not even living so long anymore. All kind of things killing we off. Crime and violence killing so much. And disease and sickness getting rid of some more. And I don't know what will befall me. But by God's grace, I pray that he will keep me here as long as he wants to. Amen. And I hope he'll keep you here as long as he wants you to. Because he has a purpose for all of us. And the purpose is to fulfill his will. Tonight, and in verse 16, chapter 6, and they said to the mountains, these are the rejecters of his grace. And when somebody reject the grace of God, it's not necessarily put it aside. The word of God in Romans says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation that is wrought for us? Can't escape is either one or the other. You see, we are free. God has created us as free beings. Free to make moral choices. Moral freedom is endowed in the human being. And that's a part of God. And so God holds that as sacred. No man, nobody must interfere with your freedom of choice. But God, the freedom of choice is not between three things. It's between good or evil. It's between wickedness or righteousness. And so I must tell you tonight, there's no absolute freedom. The option is only two. And if I neglect to choose one, ultimately I choose the other. And wisdom dictates that when we're making a choice, we make it based on information. And we have been here for the past 2 weeks, giving the information written in the record of God. And no man can say they didn't hear. And if it's not here, we've been hearing it somewhere else. The words of God have been proclaimed. And as a matter of fact, Matthew chapter 24, verse 14 says, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached how many places? In all the world. As a what? Witness. So everybody going to know. Whether they live in Timbuktu or the farthest corner of the earth, they're going to hear. This is not the age when people and mankind or anybody can say they never hear. As a matter of fact, my Bible, my inspirational readings tell me that somebody going to come up to me, Dillian, and say, you mean you know all these things long time and you never say it to me? It's a serious thing. And that's why I'm here and I'm not letting up. I got to preach it. I got to preach the word of God. I got to preach the kingdom of God. The love of God. Amen. They said, fall upon us and hide us from him. Hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. You see, my friends, when God reveals, when the Son of God is revealed in the heavens, when he's returning the second time, his countenance will outshine the sun. And it's that brightness that destroys sin and wickedness. You remember we looked at the throne room of God and we saw the splendor and the brilliance. Well, Jesus came in human flesh to veil that brilliance because he knows we couldn't take it. But when he come back, he's coming back in all his glory and the glory of the holy angels. And if you want to know what that looked like, try to remember what happened at the grave of Jesus. It is said that there was a centurion on guard, a centurion guarding the tomb of Jesus. And that means 100 Roman soldiers. These were the best of the best. And when they guard that place, one angel, the son of God the Father said, Gabriel, go get my son. And he said, I'll go. And you know, they agreed. And Gabriel, in coming to the earth, in fractions of a second, the speed at which he descended through this troposphere, the atmosphere, coming down, it caused an earthquake. And then when he landed, the soldiers fell as dead men. The brilliance, the brightness of the glory of one angel. And the stone was rolled away. So can you imagine the glory of the Father and the glory of all the angels? You don't know what that's going to be like. I don't have a clue, Elder. But it's going to happen. And that's why they say that. There was silence in heaven when the seventh seal opened. Silence! The space of half an hour. That half an hour works out to be seven prophetic, seven and a half days. How did we get that? Remember we said a day for a year. In Bible prophecy, when it comes to prophetic time, you use the principle of a day for a year. One of the principles found in the book of Ezekiel, and one of the principles found in the book of Numbers. Same principle. And so, beloved, when this thing happens, when silence was in heaven, all you need to do, it's not a day, it was half an hour, but you need to say, okay, if it's prophetic time, one day would be equal to 1 year. 1 year is 360, because according to the Hebrew calendar, it is 360 days for a year. They work it by the full moon. You see, the world set this thing differently. The Roman calendars change up the thing. The year is modeled after this amount of cycles. The earth orbit the sun. They all along the earth. But how God set it up is the amount of time that the moon orbit the earth. And that's why the month is really moonth. And it's from one full moon to the next full moon. And that is 30 days. Check it for yourself. A full moon to another full moon, 30 days. And so for you to get 12 months, it is 360 days. And so half an hour, 360 days, to get the half an hour, you'd have to say, okay, 1 day is 24 hours. Isn't that so? So if it's 360 days, 24 hours divided, 360 days divided by the 24 hours. You're checking it at 1 day first before you check half an hour. And you'll get something like, who can do the maths quickly? However, we're not going to work it out now. I should have had it on the computer. But it works out to 7.5 days. Silence in heaven. And that silence in heaven means that Jesus is going to leave heaven with all the angels. Nobody will leave up there. So heaven is silent. And the round trip from heaven to earth, when the skies roll back and all these things began to happen, to pick up the righteous, the saints, those that are declared to belong to God, to pick up the righteous and resurrect the righteous dead, to go back to heaven with them. And we're going to tell you about it, because there's going to be a great vacation in heaven. Come, continue to come, and you'll see more of that. But I am excited about this prospect. I am excited. I don't know about you. I am excited, because I know the God who spoke these things is not slack concerning his promises, as men count slackness. He is going to do it. Amen. And tonight, and you see, I tell you a story. I'll soon tell you. Let's go. Chapter 7 breaks the seven seals. And that's chapter 7 we are at. We're finished with chapter 6. Chapter 7, because John asks, who shall be able to stand? And God breaks. You see, my friends, God is so good and gracious and kind and loving and caring. There's not another person in the entire universe like him. And he wants us to be like him. Amen. And let me tell you something. He knew what was happening in John's head when he was giving him the vision, with all these atrocities. And he breaks it to let him know, who shall be able to stand? Because when John saw these things, it's as if nobody can stand Elder Wigan with all these things happening. But look, who shall be able to stand? Let's move at once into the heart of this subject by reading Revelation chapter 7, 1 to 3. Do you have your Bibles? Notice that a mighty angel command that the final winds of war and destruction not unleash until, not unleash their fury upon the earth and the sea until something very important has been completed. What is that important something? What is it? And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. What are the winds here? Winds are symbol of strife and war. When the passions of men reach their hottest temperature, and the least little thing, they want to cut your throat and get rid of you. But this is going to happen with nations and individuals. Because why? The rejecters of God's grace now have no more Holy Spirit to plead to them to say. Because probation closed. Mercy, intercession, and prayer to control all these things, finished and done with. The Holy Spirit is withdrawn. So right now, this tells us that God is controlling the passions of men, that it will not unleash to protect his people from this situation. The four winds means east, west, north, and south, all the cardinal points globally. This is not just a little place. It is global in its entirety. And the sea here, the earth, is inhabited lands. Rather sparsely inhabited lands. And the sea is multitudes and nations and peoples. So God is saying, I'm holding back the winds of war and strife so that it won't really destroy the earth until something happens. And it must not blow on any tree. Tree here symbolize the righteous. So it's because of the righteous why the whole world is spared. That's what is happening. Why Jamaica don't get any storm when the storm form and it look like it going to hit us? You don't know it. It's because of a few righteous people who really pray and intercede. God's children are here. And when these things happen, we don't even give God thanks for it. We start to find all kinds of scientific reasons why it never happened. And they can't even find out why. When they talk, they sound so foo-foo. You wonder if wise people can talk like that. Then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of what? The living God. What is this? And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom was granted to harm the earth and the sea. Now here is the scenario. These four destroying angels are ready to unleash from the time of the sixth seal when the signs were shown. We're on borrowed time, you know. We are on borrowed time because based on this prophecy, this thing should have been happened. The angels were commanded to unleash. Here is an angel being dispatched, another angel, to say, hold, not yet, until we have sealed the servants of God in their foreheads. And so, in these last days, God has commanded his angels to hold back the winds of strife from the earth until something happens to his people. What is that something? Tonight, the angels are holding back until you make some decisions. God is merciful. He's long-suffering to us, willing that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance and have everlasting life. Hurt not the earth till we have sealed the servants of God in their foreheads, the angel said. God's seal of protection is what it is all about. When you have God's seal of protection, when the four angels unleash, because there's coming a time that God is going to say, okay, all my servants are sealed in their foreheads. Go ahead with your mission. And then it shall be hell and powder house. You know what that's going to be like? Bible said there will be a time of trouble. Daniel chapter 12. Such as never was since there was a nation, language, tongue, and people. Anybody who tell me that they know what that is lying. Because they never see it yet. God says so. We don't know what's going to happen. But we know that God is going to protect his people. Amen. And to guarantee that protection, you have to be God's, belong to God. Amen. In the Bible, a sign or a seal. What is this sign? A sign or a seal. What is this seal? Represents the same thing. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of righteousness. Isaiah chapter 8 verse 16 says, seal the law among my disciples. Friends, tonight, people who love purity, have a love for purity and honor and glory of God is such, and they have so clear a view of the exceeding sinfulness of sin that they are represented as being in agony, even sighing and crying. If you read the 9th chapter of Ezekiel, you will see what I'm talking about. The writer with the ink horn was commissioned by an angel to put a mark upon those who sigh and cry for the abomination, the evil and the wickedness that is done in Israel. That is what it is. So if you see, when sin is committed in your presence, how do you feel? It's a good way of measuring it. Is your senses so numb that a man do an injustice to another man, which is sin, hurt him, do something to him, and you just turn a blind eye to it and says, oh, that happened all the time? Where is the justice in the land? Where are those who to protect the fatherless, the orphan, the underprivileged, the children? Our society is sinking to a very low in morals. We need some people to cry out. Cry out to God. Cry out. They sigh and cry. Mark this point with care. Those who receive the pure mark of truth, wrought in them by the power of the Holy Ghost, represented by a mark by the man in linen, are those that sigh and cry for the abominations done in the church. Moreover, Ezekiel 20 verse 12 says, I also gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between what? Them and me. A Sabbath God has given for it to be a sign between his people and him. You know what that means? This is serious, you know. This is serious. You know, which day is the Lord's day? Don't make nobody tell you foolishness. Don't make nobody fool you up. Because some people are preaching tonight that the Lord's day is Sunday. And I told you before, there is nowhere in the Bible that they can find anything of such to back up what they're saying. The Bible does not support it. It is baseless. There's no foundation for it. The Lord's day is a day that the Lord own. Which day does the Lord own? Any day that the Lord owns supposed to have his characteristics. Which day of the week have the characteristics of the Lord? Let's look at it. When God was creating, day one he did certain things. And the evening and the morning was the first day. And it was good. Day two he did certain things. And so on up until day six. And then God saw everything that it was what? Very good. God did something on day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, day six. Meaning, he did something on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. But on day seven, what did he do? All he did was to make a day. Nothing else. And what he did with the day? He put himself in the day. He said, the seventh day, God rested from all his work. And he blessed it. And sanctified. You know what sanctify mean? He make it holy. God's character is a holy character. Amen? And you know what bless mean? When God bless something, how long it bless for? Just today. It bless forever. Mark my words. Were there any Jews in that day? Because some people say the Sabbath is for the Jews. Were there any Jews at creation? If I read my Bible correctly, I didn't see any Jew. All I see was Adam and Eve. But the same Bible in Mark said the Sabbath was made for who? For man! What is it? Mark chapter what? Mark chapter 2 verse 27 and 28. Check it out. The Sabbath was made for man. It's only the Jews named man. You know what? I am convinced that we as human beings, we have an incredible capacity to deceive ourselves. And you know when somebody know that they're deceived? When somebody know that they deceive, because I try to find it out and I can't figure it out. When will somebody find out that they have been deceived? That's a serious thing, you know. And that's the devil's game. That is Satan's game. He plays the game of deception. Don't let him fool you. Through no minister, even I here who's standing. That's why you notice I keep pointing you to the scriptures. Because the Bible is the manual. If the world come with a manual, like a motor vehicle come with a manual, it would be the Bible. Tell you everything. Sign equal mark equal seal. No, God have a seal. which is going to mark his people with. But the Bible tells us that there is a mark of the beast. You remember, I just told you that is only two choices, isn't it? Two. One for God, or for good, or for righteousness. One for the devil, or for evil, or for wickedness. There's no middle ground. There's no neutral position. And that's what the devil wants us to deceive us to believe, that there's a neutral position. But tonight, we're unmasking that lie. God's mark is a perfect mark. Satan's mark is a rebellious mark, a mark of rebellion. And the Bible said it is the number 666. What is God's mark? A lot of people now telling people that, boy, there's going to be a chip put in your hand and so forth and so forth, and they're going to put it in your head. I want to know how that must have anything to do with my making my decision. How that have anything to do with me making my decision? You want to tell me that God will give me a freedom of choice and make it so sacred that God going to allow somebody to take it so that I don't have no control over it? Nobody can do that. He has given that freedom of choice, and he has set it so that nobody can touch it. It is sacred. So when you, any side you find yourself on, when the skies roll back, hear me now. You have made the decision. You have made your choice. And that's why I want to plead with you earnestly that you make the right choice. Get the information to make the right decision. There is going to be a mark. Listen to this. I'm not telling you anything else about this organization. Just this one thing I'm telling you tonight. Because some people feel that when I talk, I am beating down on a church. But this is not my words. This is their words. Catholic Record, September 1, 1923. And they have not revoked it from that time. Sunday is our mark of authority. The church is above the Bible. Pompous words. And this transference, meaning transferring of the Sabbath observance, is proof of that fact. Not my words. Their words are done. Hurt not the earth till we have sealed the servants of God in their forehead. God, the Lord said. How widely will the serious messages of Revelation, including the truth about God's seal, sign, or mark, be presented? It is being presented tonight. But how widely will this be presented? Is it just in Jamaica? The Bible says, I saw another angel, Revelation chapter 14, verse 6, flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice. Is this a worldwide message? Say, saying with a loud voice, fear God, give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. Worship him who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and the fountains of water and all that in them is. Is that an allusion to the Sabbath commandment? Go take your Bibles tonight and read, if it's those are not the same words. Read it. Exodus chapter 20, verse 8 to 11. That's the fourth commandment, the Sabbath commandment. Read it and see if that's not the words that is used there. This is a worldwide message, a Sabbath message. And I heard the number, Revelation chapter 7, when John said, who shall be able to stand? He heard the number when the angel said, hold, to the four angels, don't hurt the earth, nor the sea, nor the trees. Hold until the servants of God are sealed in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Who are the tribes of the children of Israel? They are given in Revelation chapter 7. 144,000 tribes. 1,000 of the tribe of Judah. 1,000. 12,000 rather. I'm getting my maths mixed up. 12,000 of the tribe of Judah. 12,000 of the tribe of Benjamin. 12,000 of the tribe of Gad. Asher, Naphtali, Manasseh, Simeon, Levi, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, Benjamin. There's one tribe that is missing. Two tribes. There's no Ephraim from the original list. And there's no Dan. Why? Revelation is trying to tell us something. It's not the tribes that down there in Israel, down in the Middle East. So when I talk about the tribes of Israel, don't even think that I'm talking about down there. Because the Bible tells us, if he be Abraham's seed, then are ye what? Heirs to the promise. If he be in Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed. So Christians are Israelites. Christians. God, Jesus started the church with 12 apostles. Peter, John, James, all these men who walked with him. And they were Jews. They were Israelites, of the literal Israelites. But even the same Jews never liked them. They persecute them. So Jesus established the church. And the oracles that had belonged to the Jewish nation is transferred to the Christian church to proclaim the truths of God. Let me tell you something. There's a little saying here. I want to share this with you. To show you, to convince you that it is spiritual Israel God talking about now. Not literal Israel. Spiritual Israel. For one, they didn't have the same tribes. The list excluded two of the original. Ephraim and Dan. Judah means, you know, the Israelite, when they give their children name, it have a meaning. Judah means, I will praise the Lord. Reuben, he has looked on me. God, grant good fortune. Asher, happy am I. Naphtali, my wrestling. Manasseh, making me to forget. Simeon, God hears me. Levi, joined to me. Issachar, purchased me. Zebulun, dwelling. Joseph, God will add to me. Benjamin, son of his right hand. And when you put them all together, there's a fabulous, magnificent statement of faith. I will praise the Lord, for he has looked on me and granted good fortune. Happy am I because my wrestling, God is making me to forget. God hears me and is joined to me. He has purchased me a dwelling. God will add to me the son of his right hand. Praise the Lord. John asks, who shall be able to stand? And he gets a statement of faith. Amen. After this, he said, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, and kindred, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne, and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, and palms in their hands. My friends, my brothers, my sisters, Revelation is a book that gives encouragement for these last days. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000. This 144,000 is mentioned again in Revelation chapter 14, verse 1. Who have their father's name written in their forehead. Is the seal and the father's name written in their forehead one and the same? Yes, because name means character. The seal of God is the character of God. These are they which are not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God, unto the Lamb. So here is the picture. When John asks who is able to stand, God showed him 144,000. And he saw them of the tribes of Israel, spiritual Israel. So there's 144,000. But then, when John looked, he heard the number. But when he looked, he saw a great multitude, which no man could number. And at least one of the angels asked him, who are these? And he said, thou knowest. And they had palms, and they had on white robes. The robe of the righteousness of God, the character of God, Jesus Christ. So there are two groups. The 144,000 and the great multitude. Now without debating this, the great multitude, because if John had only seen 144,000 when he said, who shall be able to stand? John wouldn't be satisfied with just 144,000, you know. Because out of all my brethren, you want to tell me that it's only 144,000 going to make it? Let me tell you something. The Adventist Church, in statistics, the number today is 20. Nearly 22 million worldwide and growing. 144,000 is a little drop in the bucket, you know. And some of my brethren debate this thing and said, can't be, must be a symbolic number because of the number and it's growing. But let me tell you something. We preach, I told you on Thursday, that when the souls that were seen on the altar in the fifth seal asked the question, how long, sovereign Lord, will you avenge our blood? And the Lord tell them, until your fellow servants, like yourself, shall be killed. It tells us that there's the time of trouble. Plenty soldiers going fall. Amen. And not only that, there's a sifting time coming, Adventist. Sifting time. You know, like when you have farm, Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 13 that the harvest is at the end of the age, and people teach that to mean the end, the second coming. But it's the harvest of the church. Let me tell you what's going to happen. Go take your Christ object lesson and go and study it, Adventist. And you see what that parable is about. I don't think most of us understand it. We need to go and study it. And now is not the time to separate from the body and go anywhere else. So anybody who thinks that I am supporting Shepherd rather than the other groups, think again. That's the spirit of prophecy. You and I must not separate from the body. No, it's not the time for it. And it will never be needed anymore. Because she's addressing end times. Well, let me tell you something. You know all the wheat thing, you know all the agriculture thing going in the Middle East. When you read this Bible, you must read it in context, you know. Because what it meant then must care follow through to what it means now. To interpret it properly. You see, when God is going to separate the wheat from the tears in its church, it's not the tears, it's not the wheat are taken out. It's not so going on. It's the tears are taken out, but it's not you and I do it. It is the Lord of the harvest. So it's not me and your business to go and tell them, take out the brethren out of the church. Not our job to clean the church. God's work. And it's going to be done by hardships, stressful conditions. And if we never learn to lean upon the strong and mighty arm of the Lord, the pressures are going to pull us out. We're going to say we can't take this. And we're going to leave. And the pure wheat is going to leave standing. That's what it is. Check it. And so, I don't have a problem if 144,000 spiritual Israelites are left. Because they are called the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. What does that mean? They are redeemed from among men in the time when the things getting rough and the utter claps getting hot. God is going to do something. The Spirit is going to be poured out. The loud cry. The outpouring of the latter rain. And some men and women, young men, young women, are going to stand up in the face of opposition and challenge and proclaim the third angel's message in a certain manner. As a matter of fact, Revelation 18 says they're going to say, Babylon is fallen, is fallen. Babylon is fallen once in the eyes of God already. But Babylon don't fall in the eyes of men yet, you know. Because we're not preaching what we must preach. And for Babylon to fall in the eyes of men, Adventists must get up and preach the third angel's message. What is the third angel's message? It's a warning against receiving the mark of the beast. So it simply means it's a warning. It's an encouragement to accept the seal of God. Because it's one or the other. So the Sabbath message is going to go forth with power. Beloved, I may sound hard, but it's a warning. And when you see somebody jumping off, going too close to a ditch to drop off in a hole and drop feet, hundreds of feet to their death, you're not going to whisper to them. You're not going to whisper. You're going to say, John! John! Don't step back! And in their mouths was found no guile. They have no deception in their hearts, so they don't speak it. What's in the heart comes out of the mouth. The abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Without fault before the throne of God. Now if somebody don't have any fault, you say they're perfect, don't it? Can we be perfect? Can we be perfect? What is this message telling us? This is going to be a people that really represent Jesus in these times. And they are going to be the ones who proclaim the loud cry message, because Joel chapter 2 verse 28 will be fulfilled. I will pour out my spirit. Young men shall see visions. Old men shall dream dreams. They're not defiled with women. They follow the Lamb. They're first fruits. No guile in their mouth. They're virgins. Look here. I don't want you to misunderstand this. If they're virgins, it don't mean that they practice a celibate life. They don't have anything to do with women. This virgin business, virgins mean they're not defiled with women. Women in the Bible represent church. So the doctrines and the bad doctrines and the false doctrines that churches teach that are not supported from Scripture, they don't embrace it. They teach the thus saith the Lord, the pure and undefiled truth of the Bible. There's a movement that is doing that today. And we're going to talk about that. But the great multitude, the 144,000, is called the first fruit. Now, first fruit in the Bible, you have to look at the sanctuary service in the Old Testament days. The first fruit was a wave sheaf offering. Jesus, when he ascended and led captivity captive, and he took those people who were resurrected when he was resurrected. And they have the enthronement in the heavenly temple in Revelation chapter 4. He presented them as the wave sheep. And the Bible says they were the first fruits of them that slept. And Jesus was the prime first fruit of them that slept. So if you have a first fruit, according to the Israelite agricultural system and the sanctuary, the first fruit was a promise, was an assurance that there was going to be a great multitude and an abundance of harvest. The harvest was going to be abundant. It assures that the harvest was going to be plenty. So there was a first fruit of those who slept. You don't expect that there'll be a first fruit of those who are living. That's what the 144,000 represent. They are the first fruits of those living. And they are going to preach. And when they preach, under the anointing of latter-rain power, the people who are sitting down in the other churches, listen to me good, and know that what's going on in there is wrong. They're not teaching the truth. They can't come now, you know, because some of us will run them out. It's a serious thing, you know, brethren. They're not coming now. Some of them coming. But God knows when to bring them. But you know what? These people are sitting down and they're hearing things. They're even hearing what's going on through this system now. And that's why the inspiration tells us that some people when come in the church that we're going to be frightened. He's going to surprise us. He's not going to work according to what we plan. God have a better plan. And that's why we must work with God's plan. His plan is supreme. So they come in. But when they hear the loud cry, they don't go and go get up and walk out without fear or favor. And walk into the true message. Walk and join the true people of God. Marching on to Zion. In the future, the final issue of loyalty will center around worship. It will center around worship. Not a chip that somebody put in my forehead or in my hand. In the days of Noah, God invited his people to take a stand. In the days of Daniel, God invited his people to take a stand. In the days of Jesus, God has invited his people to take a stand. In the days of early Christianity, God has invited his people to take a stand. In the dark ages, God invited his people to take a stand, and they did. In the last days, our days, God is inviting us to take a stand. Thank God for the three people right here who have taken a stand. Amen. They have taken a stand to go all the way with Jesus. What is the seal? How is this something used to figurative manner? A seal of righteousness, of faith. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed. What three things does a government seal contain? It contains the name, the title, the territory. This is the President of the United States seal. It has its name, it has its title, and the territory, United States. Name, Barack Obama. Title, President. What is God's seal in his holy law? The Ten Commandments. And you know, a seal in a document, a legal document, is a central thing. Which one of the laws are central in the commandment? The fourth commandment. Check it for yourself. The seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth. God's name is in that commandment. The Lord thy God. His title or office as creator is in it. He made the earth. His dominion, his territory, is heaven and earth. Revelation is clear. We worship God because he is our creator and redeemer. What has God provided for his people as a sign, seal, or mark of his creating and redemption and redeeming power? What is it? It is the Sabbath. It is the Sabbath. Is that clear? That is clear as day. Check it for yourselves. Go read it. Where does this great angel of Revelation 7 say this sign or seal of God is placed on a person? In their forehead. Only in their forehead. It's the inculcation of a principle. A principle that says, God is creator, he's my creator, and he's my redeemer. I owe all my allegiance to him. God's holy Sabbath. When did God make the Sabbath? We did that already. When the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, he created the Sabbath after he had done that. From what did God make the Sabbath? Simple. The seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. What three things did God do at creation that made the seventh day special? He rested, he blessed it, and he sanctified it. When God blesses something, it's blessed forever. Thou blessest, O Lord, and it's blessed, it shall be blessed forever. For whom did God make the Sabbath? For man. Beloved, the only thing we need to do, remember
the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The Sabbath was kept throughout the New Testament. Paul kept it. Jesus kept it. And some people want us to say that the Sabbath was changed by Jesus. That's the biggest lie being told on Jesus. As his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. That's his practice. And he told his disciples when they were going to go, when the Romans were going to take over the place, look here, pray that you're running or you're fleeing will not be on the Sabbath. And that was long after Jesus gone. And he's telling them to remember in a technical way the Sabbath to keep it holy. So move before the Sabbath. Don't make the Sabbath catch you. Keep the Sabbath. We have to close tonight. I want to hope and I want to pray that this message was clear to you tonight. Amen. And God is praised and God is glorified. That's our only purpose here. Shall we stand for prayer? Our Father in heaven, Lord, we have heard your words. You have spoken to us. We thank you, Lord, for the words that have come to enlighten our dark understanding. Oh Lord, help us to arise and shine, for thy light has come. Help us, Lord, to do your will. Strengthen us by the indwelling of your Holy Spirit. Forgive us of where we have done wrong. And oh Lord, blot out our transgressions. And Lord, seal us with your seal of ownership. As we continue to praise and honor you and to do your will and to be obedient to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.